Turn with me, please, to the 32nd Psalm. This is a psalm of 11 verses. I think I'll just read them. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day, and was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That's the 32nd Psalm. The caption, probably in nearly all of our Bibles, says, a Psalm of David. Mashal. The word mashal means instruction. Some psalms are psalms of praise. Some are psalms to deal with sorrow. The 32nd Psalm is a psalm of instruction. It specifically is addressed to what to do to get in tune with God. That's good instruction for everybody to have in the world. I'm thinking of a lady we knew in a far distant congregation, came to services sometime, wouldn't get saved, tried for a while, and then the old devil took advantage of her. The time went by, life going through the stages that it does, her mother got sick. She went to visit her mother in the hospital. The girl was not saved, but her mother was not saved either. She thought maybe her mother was going to die. What do you suppose she said to her? Pray, mother. Pray. You need to get your soul right. You might not have very much more time. No matter where we go in life, if you choose to serve the Lord today or if you go on without him, it's very valuable to know how to get back in touch with him when you need to. This is a psalm of instruction on how to do that. That's what that lady was telling her mother. And at that time, she needed some good instruction from the Lord. So let's see what it says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I don't suppose anybody could write something like this for whom it wasn't true. The caption says it's a psalm of David, and it's widely considered to be the words of David. We can speculate about what particular sin David was dealing with when he said this, but in a way it doesn't matter at what period of his life he wrote it, because everybody has sinned sometimes and everybody needs to know how to get back in touch with God. Now in our Bible, this blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, is followed with a comma. But the original words are much more emphatic than this is. It's almost like a shout of joy. It's almost like saying, I can't tell you how glad I am that I found how to get my sins forgiven. That is the greatest thing any of us will ever find in this world. Blessed is the man. It means everything's all right now. It means I can die in peace. It means there's one who's walking with me through my life. The sin, the shame, and the reproach are all covered. We sing a song about it sometimes. It says, did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. My sins are all taken away. That is a shout of joy. So he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Four things that are mentioned here. We have transgression, sin, iniquity, and guile. They all mean the same thing, but they all mean something different. Each of them means something different about the same thing. And they're worth our study a little bit this morning. First, about transgression. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Transgression is translated from a word that means trespassing or crossing the boundary. Or at a deeper level, it means rebelling. It means tearing yourself away from the fabric of something else. Blessed is the man, in other words, who has torn himself away from the fabric or the dealing that God has done in his life. Because all sin begins at that point. It always involves a rebelling against God. It always involves an unwillingness to listen to his voice anymore. It's like in a family. The story of the prodigal son fits in very well here. When a child is part of a loving family, they grow up to a point and they decide, I don't want the discipline or the life of this family anymore. So I'm going to take my own way. And I know that the way that I'm taking is contrary to the way that my parents' love is. But I'm going to break those bonds and tear away. Nobody can leave the Lord without breaking some bonds. That's what this word means, transgression. It means you cross some boundaries. It means like a child that's growing up enough to decide her own life. Dad and mother never would allow alcohol in the home, but I want to see what it tastes like. So I'm going out with my friends, and you know when you do it that dad and mother are going to cry. But you do it anyway. That's what this is talking about, doing that to God. Blessed is the man who's done that and found a place where God had mercy on him and forgave him. Because everyone who's ever committed a sin has done that. And every one of us needs to be able to find a way back to the Savior. That's what transgression is. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now sin, in this sense, means both in the Old Testament and the New, to miss the mark. And literally that means, when God created you and me in this world, as unique and individual as we are, in the home where you are, in the life that you have, he had a plan for you. But when we go in sin, we miss the mark. We start to say, my idea of what to do with my life is better than God's idea. I think I'll just try it for myself, weave my own future. And when we do, we miss the mark of fulfilling what we wanted. Because the devil lies to you every time. He started it with Eve and told her, God knows that in the day that you eat of this tree, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil, and the tree is desirable for food and to make one wise and so forth. But it was a lie. It was a lie. At best, it was a half-truth. So the devil will lie to you about what will happen if you commit sin. To fulfill your own life, you'll miss the mark. You'll also miss the mark of being what God intended you to be. You'll miss the mark of being in the community, in your home, in your family, what a wholesome person ought to be. That's what it means to miss the mark. People who miss the mark in their lives leave something behind them in the shame of sin. Like poor old brother Paul did when he persecuted the saints, is hard to get past. I think that bothered Paul the rest of his life because he wrote about it different places. And it'd be hard, wouldn't it, to get up on Sunday morning and preach to some folks, and maybe two or three widows sitting out there in the congregation trying to raise young children, and you are responsible for their fathers and husbands being put to death. That'd be hard to live with. When bees are making a hive, and something ugly gets in the hive, something disgusting or disagreeable, they're not big enough to carry it away, but they use that wax that they make their combs from, and they seal that over with wax and cover it up. And then they go on and put honey on top of it. God's got a way of covering our iniquities and never remember them more against us forever. That's more than we have a right to ask for. When you've been a Paul and you've been responsible for people going out into eternity, and because of that, little children have got to grow up without a daddy, perhaps, in their home. That's an ugly thing. And there's nothing you can do to ever turn the tide of time back. But there is a God who can cover that in His mercy and refuse to remember it against us evermore, all the way to the judgment. That's what it means to have our sins covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Iniquity in this sense means perversion. Perversion is twisting things. It's taking them out of their right place. My father got saved when I was 15 years old. Before that, my father was a very idealistic man. Whatever your traits are, if you live in sin, the devil will take advantage of them. In his idealism, the devil talked to my father. My mother said it this way. He said, "Your dad sees the faults of people, and it hides God from him." He said, "He's like a man holding a penny between him and the sun, and saying, well, there's no sun there because I see all these faults." That's perversion. If you live in sin, the devil will pervert your thinking until you can't see clearly what you need to do. That's what this is talking about. The scripture said, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." People who live in sin generally have wickedness, but people who've been saved and backslide go away with thoughts. They have feelings. They have bitterness and quarrel. The scripture said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man just lay his thoughts down," because they're perverted. They're twisted. Well, that's what this is talking about in this passage of scripture. I am so thankful that God has a way to take people whose thinking has gotten twisted and straighten it out again. I have sat for hours discussing with people, trying to help them with logic and understanding to straighten out their thinking. But if God doesn't do it, we never do get the job done. Blessed is the man, says the word of the Lord, unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Guile means deception. Well, maybe we will speak a little bit of David's transgression. David got in trouble with Bathsheba, and because of it, he caused Uriah to lose his wife. Nathan the prophet came to David, described to him a parable about a man who had a whole bunch of sheep and a poor man beside him who had one little lamb. They said the man with a whole bunch of sheep had a visitor come to him. Instead of taking one of his, he went and got that one little precious lamb that the man had raised from the time it was born, kept it in his bosom, meant everything to him. He went and got that one little lamb and sacrificed it. David had guilt in his soul. David's thinking had gotten perverted because of sin. Things were upside down to him. His thinking ran this way. I want to impress Nathan, and I want to impress my people. that I am strong for righteousness, and I am a willing judge who will do at any cost what needs to be done. And the case is presented to me, and I'm the king. I'll tell you what I'll do. That rich man will be put to death, because I'm willing to demonstrate his covering his sin and trying to use this pretended righteousness to convince, of all people, the man of God. It's quite impossible. And Nathan put the finger on him and said, "Thou art the man. This is what you have done." The only way to get help from the Lord is to freely and frankly admit where we really are, what our sin really is. Just open it up. When David got ready to deal with his transgression, he said, "Against thee only have I sinned." And I take that to mean what he was saying was, nobody made me do this. This is nobody else's fault. This is me. I did this myself. To be in that place and have the Lord cleanse you from all guile till you're just innocent. You're just open. Here I am. Examine me. I'll take full responsibility for everything in my life. People get that way before the Lord and get forgiven. It brings transparency. And it brings fellowship and unity. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in his spirit there is no guile. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. It means when I was unwilling to be without guile, when I was unwilling to face my iniquity, when I was unwilling to be honest, to listen to the voice of the Lord, I lived in rebellion against his spirit. It was not a happy time. The bones are the central part of your body. And he said, they just, as if to say, everything inside me was upset and disquieted by turmoil and trouble. I had no rest in my spirit. I was always guilty. My conscience hurt me all the time. The Lord had come by and visit me, and I'd feel ashamed, embarrassed, and humiliated. People who live in sin, when they get under conviction, get sullen and cranky and hard to be around. And it's no wonder that they should. Their bones are roaring. Their conscience is hurting. They're not comfortable where they are. Go out in sin, try to get a little bit of pleasure out of it for a while. When you come back, you feel more guilty than you did when you went. The pleasure of it doesn't last long. You see your companions and doing that sort of thing, winding themselves up in the toils of trouble and distress more and more, and no answer to it. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring. All the day long means nowhere that I could go. And everything that I did, could I escape being in that place. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. A long time since I lived in sin. But I remember during the years what I did, during my teenage years, my family would be in the house of bed asleep. The Lord would be talking to me. I didn't want to listen to him. Didn't want to be saved. I couldn't sleep either. They're all asleep, and I'd climb out the bedroom window because I didn't want them to hear me open the door downstairs and walk out on those country roads for hours at night and look up at the stars and think to myself, if I died right here in this spot, my soul would be lost and I'd go to hell and have no chance. That's what this is talking about. By day and by night, there's always a conscience going with me. Thy hand is heavy upon me, said, all the time here comes dealings from the Spirit of the Lord. If I see a saved person, if I drive by in front of the chapel, if somebody sings a song that talks about the Lord, and the most unexpected people will do it. If somebody talks about a scripture, just seeing a sign somewhere that's got the name of God on it, you can drive down I-44 towards Springfield, and you can see signs advertising false things, but you can see signs along there that have got scriptures on them too. And if you're in a place where the Lord's not pleased with you, he uses all of this in his mercy. That's what the scripture is saying. That's the way it was. And I kept silence. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, till all the joy that I had in the things that I was doing was turned into drought of summer. Then he said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Saints, Jesus Christ is the best counselor there's ever been in the history of this world. People get in trouble because of bipolar disorder. I think a good hearty case of schizophrenia, bring it down to an altar of prayer and let that person get in touch with the Savior of their soul, get genuinely forgiven, can make a powerful difference. I know there are chemical imbalances that get in people's bodies. I know people have been raised in horrible circumstances and things affect them. I know depression is real, but I'm deeply convinced that the answers to those things are not new. They've been understood all the way back to the time of old Father David. And here's a good part of the answer to it. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not said. I said, I'll confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Selah means this is true. It means I have been there myself and tried that out, and I know it works. That's what it means, amen. That's what he said. As if to confirm it. I don't know how better to put it. Now, this is a psalm of instruction. Life being what it is, you can take it or leave it. Many people pass it by and leave it. However, if you and I want to enjoy the blessing of the Lord, it is available to anyone who will, and this is how you do it. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Here's what he said. If you seek the Lord, get in a place where your iniquity is covered. Sin is forgiven. Your sin is covered, iniquity is forgiven. I'm sorry. Whose spirit there is no guile. In the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. It's like, someone was telling me a story the other day, I think Roberta was, about some children in the West in the early day, heard a sound. And the ground began to tremble. They were with cattle, and the cattle began to run. They realized it was a flash flood. Then the waters were sweeping down toward them. They began to run too. And in the story, they found a tree and climbed into it. This is not talking about a tree. It's talking about a rock, a covert, a shelter. When the flood of life, because life's got unexpected things in it, folks. Life's got heartbreak in it. Life's got disappointment in it. People let you down. People die. One of the things we all have to accept about life is that people die. And sometimes your life has to go on when someone that you trusted, hoped would always be there for you, is gone. And there are other things. There are financial disasters. There are health disasters. Life has got hard places in it. But the scripture is teaching us here, when those places come and it's a flood and overwhelms people and destroys people, there is one who will hold you in his hand and keep you through such a time as that. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. I need to talk about in a time when thou mayest be found a little bit. We humans vary. We change over time. God never does. If we tear ourselves away from him, if we bring shameful sin into our individual lives, if we allow the devil to twist and pervert our thinking, and we got caught up in guile somewhere or another, we can't just find our way back to God by ourselves. We don't have the capacity. Our minds are affected by what has happened to us. The shameful things that are behind us are like something with a terrible smell that follows along with us wherever we go. We don't have the capability to turn all of that back. It is of the Lord's mercies that any of us are not consumed. There is a time when he may be found. When the Lord comes by, you might say, and deals with our souls in spite of all of that, in spite of all that we've brought upon ourselves, there is a time in his mercy when he'll come by to speak to your soul and to mine, and you can feel conviction, and you know there's a window open, and you can take advantage of it then. If we pass it by, it may escape us. We won't always feel that way because we humans change, but he never does. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time where thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Then he said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with wings of deliverance. Now God is speaking. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I would like to have the Lord speak to me like that. How many times there have been places in life where decisions had to be made. What school for our children to attend. What career to follow. Whether or not to buy a vehicle. Moral questions. Questions about health. What should I leave alone? I hear people say this is bad for you and this is bad for you. What shall I do? To have the Lord guide us with his eye. I remember Sister Lynette Milo, when she was young, testifying about this scripture. She said, my children used to sit here beside me. Now they're a little older and they sit other places on the benches, but they're not out from under my control. She said, I guide them with my eye. She said, I turn and look at one of my children if they're beginning to do something that they shouldn't, and they know what I mean. I want to be close enough to the Lord so that he'll guide me with his eye. He said, don't be like the horse or the mule that have to have a bit to turn them. Silly beasts, foolish animals. I've never ridden a horse that didn't want to crop some grass along the way. You always have to pull on the bridle because you always want to stop and eat something. Now, I'm a man. I know that that horse will be fed. But the horse is not smart enough to know that. All he knows is what he feels at the moment. And if he's going to perform a useful function, if he's going to plow, if he's going to take a person from one place to another, he has to be guided. I mind Brother McIntyre. He's gone into eternity now. But when the Lord was dealing with him, he lived right next door to the minister. And the minister was having worship service, having tent meeting in his backyard. Brother McIntyre got under conviction. He came to some of the services, and then he quit coming to the services. Sunday morning, he said the minister was up there preaching. He said, I was out in the same place working on my car. And he said, I tried to fire the engine or had my wife try to start it, and I was leaned over and backfired through the carburetor and hit me right in the face. He said it was the fist of God came right up out of that carburetor and hit me in the face. And he said, the next night I went to services. Well, God in his mercy may do things like that occasionally, but he doesn't want to force you and me to serve him by sending trouble our way. The only way we can stay spiritual is if every once in a while we run into something really bad, and if it doesn't happen, we start getting down. He said, don't be like the horse. That's the way you do with a horse. You have to keep pulling his head up. He wants to guide us with his eye. All he has to do is look and say, yes, I'm here because I want to be. I am a human. I have a mind. I have made choices in my life. I have considered sin. It's a tearing away from everything that's beautiful and valuable. It hurts me to go that way. It's got rebellion in it. I don't want to do it. I've considered sin. It makes something stinking and ugly to be behind me. It follows me wherever I go. My and Brother Darius Gibson tell about years ago, he and his wife, travel trailer, driving down the road, stopped for lunch, little park. Got out their lunch. One of them said to the other, something dead around here, smells terrible. Let's go, we'll find another place. Drove down the road, stopped again. Same thing. Stopped the third time. Something dead around here too. What's all these dead animals? He said, if I had dawned on me and had gotten looked under the trailer and there was something dead draped over the axles, we were taking it with us wherever we went. That's the way it is when you're in sin. You're taking it with you wherever you go. I'm tired of that. I don't want to do that. Thank God there is a way that a person can be forgiven. And he's promised it in this passage of scripture. Don't be as a horse, he said, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. I recommend that scripture to you this morning. Life is to be lived. And in a sense, it's what we make it. You can choose, and I can choose. You can serve the Lord if you will. But the Word of God has said, and it can never be changed, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. If you choose to walk away from the Lord, if you choose to live in rebellion with a perverted mind, with sin uncovered behind you, and lie to yourself about it, and try to lie to God about it, you will have many sorrows in your life. There isn't any way around it. That's all there is to it. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but it's necessary to be that way. He that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Here's what that means. It means when you deserved lashes, the Lord puts his hand over it. He bore the lashes on his back. He bore the transgression, the shame of our transgression. And he'll say, take my blood for what they deserve to have. I have mercy. It's more than just love. It's mercy. It stands between us and what we actually deserve. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. That's the 32nd Psalm. It's a psalm of instruction. It's quoted again in Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, which read this way, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So this isn't only for the time of the offering of sacrifices on that old altar. This is a promise to you and me from time to eternity. All right, it's simple. Maybe you found it boring, but it's real. And it'd be well for every one of us to remember us all the way down through life. Wherever life takes us, if you live for the Lord today, it's better. But if you don't do it, and somewhere between here and the judgment, you decide you want to turn around and come back, the 32nd Psalm is an indicator that there is a way. I could say to you this morning that many, many a thirsty soul, many a wounded conscience has found its way back to God through this 32nd Psalm. So you and I. The whole message of the gospel is that there's a way back. There's a God, folks. He's real. We're going to answer to him at the end of life's journey. He's made it possible for you and I to be washed in his blood and to be saved forever. We're wise to do it today. But even if you don't, please don't forget that. Please don't forget that he made a way. The way of the wicked is filled with sorrows. But those that follow the Lord, there is mercy. Thank God. Appreciate your attention this morning. That's my little message. Amen.